Hello, this is Chris Yerkes reading to you from the February 26th edition of the County Chronicle. We'll begin with the first page stories. Arthur School Board, Struggle with Filling Job Vacancies by Ariana Cherry. It's becoming challenging to replace and hire new staff in the district, commented Superintendent Shannon Cheek at the most recent Arthur School Board meeting held at Lovington Grade School on February 19th. Currently, several positions are open in the district. Some of these positions include two openings for junior high science, school psych, band, chorus music, high school history, elementary education positions, and ELA at Lovington Grade School. Job descriptions can be found on the district website under job vacancies. Cheek and his staff are taking actions to fill these positions. We continue to try and attend all the college job fairs and recruit during that time. We also try as much as possible to network with the colleges outside these scheduled job fairs, making connections and trying to extend these relationships. So when a qualified applicant is available, we have established that relationship for what we hope is a possible leg up to attract the talent. We're also very open and have hosted several student teachers, which often help if an opening happens within the area of the student teachers, he stated. Along with Cheek stating his concern about filling job vacancies within the district, he gave an update about the facilities. He spent several hours with BLDD and the engineers on January 31st. Feedback was received on the facility and its mechanicals. They took many notes and photos and will take their information and organize it into a report and findings. Cheek said he was hoping to present some of the review to the board that will include a budget and a list of potential violations that were found. The goal is to take action and submit it for the Health, Life, and Safety Amendment. Cheek hopes to be discussing more of this at the next board meeting that will be held on March 19th. Other items that were voted, discussed included press box and bleacher issues at the football were discussed. The board needs to consider and vote about whether to replace or repair them. A slideshow of photos of the bleachers were shared during the board meeting. Several spots on the bleachers have been rusted through. While some spots could be repaired, it is unsure how long these repairs would last. Cheek suggested calling Tri-County to come out and look at the bleachers within the next month. To replace the bleachers would cost about $400,000. He also stated that the bleachers on the visitor side needed to be taken care of as soon as possible. 2024-2025-26 school calendar was approved. The district received a grant to upgrade the cameras in all four school buildings. Hart Technologies will be replacing the phone and bell system in all four buildings as well. Approved an intergovernmental agreement with the Village of Atwood. Mr. Fleming and Mr. Foreman are partnering together to create some pickleball courts. It'll be a unique and fun opportunity, said Cheek. Balance on the most recent bank statement was $2,096,000. The beginning checkbook balance for the building fund was $436,000. Transportation fund was $30,000 and education fund was $1,284,000. Beth Wiley was appointed as the ISBE Rural Education Advisory Council. Susie Burkett will be the stepping down from the school board as she is moving. You have represented our district and our communities well, commented Cheek. Personnel report, certified staff. Approved hiring Vanessa Floyd as the K-8 Title I teacher for AGS for the 25-26 school year. Approved hiring Connor Strader as the PE teacher for Atwood Hammond Grade School for the 25-26 school. Accepted letter of resignation from Chantel Benedict as high school science teacher. Accepted letter of resignation from Ethan DeLofter as the band teacher. Accepted from Vanessa Floyd for the second grade teacher at Arthur Grade School. Accepted intent to retire letter from Rhonda Rhodes effective the end of the 24-25 school year. Accepted a letter of resignation from Sarah Martinez as junior high ELA teacher at Lovington Grade School. Accepted letter of resignation from Matt Thomas as the science teacher of the Arthur Lovington Atwood Hammond High School. Approved administrative contract Nathan Seal. Approved hiring Cameron Mixon for second grade teacher at Arthur Grade School. Non-certified extracurricular staff. Approved hiring Guy Bates as a scholastic bowl assistant coach for the high school. Accepted Chantel Benedict resignation from high school student council. Accepted Rhoda Rhodes resignation from Spelling Bee sponsor. Accepted Matt Thomas resignation from cross country track, science department head, and food pantry coordinator. Approved hiring Courtney Hall, junior high girls track coach. Arthur Village Board approves capital improvement plan by Ariana Cherry. Grant Quorum of Public Works announced new projects for the fiscal 2025-26 capital improvement plan at the most recent meeting of the Arthur Village Board. Some of the new projects include a new water source study for future planning, standby automated power generator at the well site to replace the aged manual power generator that's still presently there, and hydrant replacements and valve insertions. The location of the Replacement and valve insertion locations will be determined after reviewing the system maps and inventory. Chief Elliot Tinnen spoke about the recent events that happened at Rose Lens and the apartment complex off East Columbia recently during his report. He also reported there were two felony arrests in January and traffic citations were average. Trustee Christy Bernius commented on a job well done by his department and other law enforcement agencies involved. Other items discussed and voted upon. Expenditures were approved for $16,000. Quorum reported that salt expenses have exceeded costs compared to previous years. There are two vehicles salting instead of one, which now takes less time. They'll be taking care of the potholes in the town as well. Eli Schrock donated an antique wooden box that held six containers of 3-in-1 oil. The box had originally been shipped to J.W. Barham and Arthur, who was one of Arthur's first pharmacists and the first village board member. TIF construction grant in the amount of $31,000 to Collins Oil LLC, 808 East Main Street in Arthur, was approved. They plan to update some of the structures in their 45-year-old building. Some of those structures include their roof, walk-in door, window, north office, and garage door. Approved Wes Yoder to mow the property at the village well site for the 2025 season in the amount of $1,000. Michael Ellsbury was approved to attend the Illinois Water Pollution Control Conference and Awards Banquet on March 19th in East Peoria for the amount of $275 plus hotel accommodations in the amount of $412. The Village of Arthur was one of three nominated for Wastewater Plant of the Year. It passed Ordinance 0217A 2025, amending the Village of Arthur Code of Chapter 30, Section 49A1 concerning water meter requirements in the older ordinance. Meters larger than 1 inch were to be purchased and installed by their property owner. With the new ordinance, meters larger than 1 inch that are dead from age, the village will be purchasing the meters and property owners will only have to pay for the installation within 60 days after receiving notification. In the event that meters are damaged beyond working order, property owners will be billed to replace them. Tuscola City Council debate waste hauling, street closures by David Porter. It's budget season for the Tuscola City Council. Budget committee meetings were held for the weeks of March 17th and 24th. The council again discussed whether to seek proposals for solid waste pickup in the city. The current contract with Waste Management expires at the end of October. City administrator said there were two companies interested in bidding for the city's business. An alternative would be to open the city up for any waste hauler. Mayor Dan Cly said he's not in favor of that. Aside from having multiple trucks on different days in the city, the billing would be direct with the hauling company rather than through the city. Hole said that if another franchise agreement is sought, he wants to see a clearly delineated customer service process. He said nobody can get into the waste management when they have a problem, so they call City Hall, but we can't fix it, Howell said. Residents technically are not customers of the waste hauler because of the franchise agreement, Hole said. The billing goes through the water department. That's an added benefit for the waste hauler because the city can shut off water service if the bill isn't paid. Hole said if a different waste hauler was selected, there'd be a transition period for totes to be swapped out. He added the city was opted for a franchise agreement since he's been with the city. Hole also commented the city received blowback when the hauler stopped picking up in alleys. Alderman Scott Day noticed that alley pickup is a thing of the past. It was previously discussed that the larger automated trucks cannot easily navigate the alleys. Parking on Justice Street was again discussed. Kleist noted that the Postal Service requested there be no parking signs be moved to the other side of the street since the mailboxes are located on that side of the parking. However, the other side has fire hydrants, Kleist said, and he's not in favor of changing the no parking lane and suggested the Postal Service could utilize the sidewalk to deliver the mail. He said there are only a half a dozen houses on that area. No vote was taken. On the consent agenda, the council approved a community building lease with alcohol for FFA alumni pie auction and chili supper March 8th, as well as street closures for the Odd Fellows vendor event October 16th and car show May 3rd. The Odd Fellows will use the West North Central Street. The car show requested that 100 block of West Sale Street be closed. Kleist asked whether North Central Street could be utilized instead. Howell said the car show prefers Sale Street and that they have claimed to have talked to affected businesses and had gotten their okay. It was suggested that North Central would be used for overflow car participating in the car show. Villa School Board, Ag Department launches grant and scholarship program by Gabriella Agius. Callie Wiegang, the district's agricultural teacher and FFA advisor, visited the Villa Grove School Board during this month's meeting. FFA Week was in full swing with the annual Hat Day fundraiser. This event allows students to wear hats sponsored by local farmers. The FFA then matches these donations. A Another fundraiser is held, Kiss the Goat. This is a week-long event where students can purchase baked goods with their donation going toward a teacher of their choice. The teacher who has the most money in their bucket must kiss a goat at the end of the week. In the past, the funds raised during the week were sent toward the district's Snack Pack program. However, this program is well-funded at the moment, so FFA wanted to create a grant program for teachers in the district. This grant can be used for special and creative projects that staff may need funding for. This will allow students not only help teachers in the district, but allow them to learn how to evaluate grant applications. Wugang also shared that she has been working on securing scholarships for students to attend the Early College and Career Academy, ECCA, at Parkland College. Many students want to enroll in this program, but do not have the funds, even after the district pays $500 toward their tuition. So Wugang reached out to Ed Clare of Paul's Machine and Welding to see if there was interest in sponsoring 50% of the scholarship. Claire agreed not only to sponsor the scholarship, but will also provide welding internship for the student awardee. When Wugang discussed the scholarship with the FFA alumni, they were interested in sponsoring the scholarship as well for a student looking to study precision agriculture. United Prairie was willing to provide internship opportunities for this scholarship as well. Wugang is also working with EDP Renewals to have them potentially sponsor a third scholarship. The ECCA at Parkland allows high school students to get specific job training while still attending school. These students go to Parkland for their first few periods of the day, then commute back to the district to attend their required courses. The district received their workers' compensation experience rating coming out at 0.79. Superintendent Carol Munson reports that anything under 1 is favorable. Pre-K screening and kindergarten registration are soon, March 6th and March 18th, respectively. The next article, Tuscola School Board. Board treated to musical performance by Ben Crane. The Tuscola School Board started their February meeting with some musical fanfare from high school students Olivia Wallace and Ava Raugoth, who performed Super Trooper, and Andrew Spellman, Emma Spellman, Carson Jeffers, and Chase Nixon, who performed Thank You for the Music from their upcoming performance, Mamma Mia. Laura Myers also addressed the board, inviting them to the FFA alumni's annual spaghetti supper and pie auction. Next, the board approved a total of $5,300 in donations, $300 from an anonymous donor for Help a Child, $150 from Caleb and Kelly Engelhart for Cheer, $200 from an anonymous donor for SAD, $200 from an anonymous donor for Help a Child, $300 from Janet Boyer Living Trust for Northward Kids, $3,300 from the First Christian Church for lunch balances, and $800 from the First State Bank to the district. The board then approved the amended 2024-25 calendar to account for 2 e-learning days as well as $900,000 in monthly bills. The district also owned a 1985 Chevrolet 1-ton, which the board voted to declare as excess so they could sell it. The district bought a truck recently from the city of Tuscola. East Prairie Principal Jared Van Osdell's contract renewal was approved by the board before they moved their March meeting to the 31st and their May meeting to the 21st. Finally, the resignation of Nicole Shea as junior high girls assistant coach, the retirement of Kay Craze as paraprofessional, and hirings of Natasha Smith as teacher in North Ward, Anna Jones as teacher in North Ward, and Bill Lyons as TCHS head volleyball coach were all approved. The next article, Arcola City Council approves surplus ordinance and sale. In a short meeting last Tuesday, the Arcola City Council approved Ordinance 25-S1, which declares surplus property and authorizes the sale of the same, which was discussed at their first meeting in February. The Employee Relations Committee also met and interviewed a candidate for the water and sewer superintendent position. The next first page article, Benedict Parsons and Fleming crowned 2025 ALAH royalty. The 2025 Miss ALAH pageant, sponsored by the Arthur Area Association of Commerce and the Atwood Chamber of Commerce, was held Saturday, February 23rd, at Penn Station in downtown Arthur. Winning the title of 2025 Miss ALAH was Maggie Benedict. Maggie is 17 years of age and the daughter of Jared and Christy Benedict of Atwood. She's a senior at Arthur Lovington Atwood Hammond High School and was sponsored by the Tuscola Breakfast Place. Brooklyn Peeler, daughter of Jeffrey Peeler and Caitlin Schwass of Atwood, was first runner-up. She was sponsored by Honest Roofing and Three Guys Concrete. Miss Congeniality went to Shelby Grimsley, daughter of Justin and Tiffany Grimsley of Arthur, sponsored by Legacy Land Company. Other contestants included Alexis Myers, daughter of Amanda Meredith of Arthur, sponsored by A1 EMS, and Michaela Perez, daughter of Carlos and Trinity Rodriguez of Arthur, sponsored by Yoder's Kitchen. Capturing the title of 2025 Junior Miss ALAH was Bentley Parsons. Bentley is the daughter of John and Angie Parsons of Hammond. She was sponsored by the Homestead Bakery. Other contestants included Kindry Carter, daughter of J.J. and Erica Carter from Arthur, sponsored by Central Illinois Slammers, and Brianna Calvillo, daughter of Luzmila Guzman of Arthur, sponsored by J.C. Oye Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. The title of 2025 Little Miss ALAH was won by Caroline Fleming. Caroline is the daughter of Mitch and Leslie Fleming of Atwood and was sponsored by Arthur Floral and Home Decor. Other Little Miss contestants included Helena Benner of Atwood, daughter of Corey and Ashley Benner, sponsored by CHI Overhead Doors, Sydney Cherry of Atwood, daughter of Ryan and Paige Cherry, sponsored by Bear Creek Truss, and Arabella Ashworth, daughter of Summer Butterick, sponsored by her grandparents. Little Miss contestant Sydney Cherry was the top seller for raffle tickets. Winners included Karen Ferguson, Krista Hain, Gina Hodge, Avery Johnson, Dave McCrory, Kristen Nall. Mistress of Ceremonies for the evening was 2021 Miss ALAH Emma Lee McLean. And the final first page story, Kitchen Seed Company Sells by Trudy Feyerizen. Longtime company Kitchen Seed Company Incorporated in Arthur, Illinois, purchased by Phil Kitchen from Carter Odom in 1974 when it was known as Odom Seed and Supply, enjoyed its 50th year in business this past year and is now being acquired by Real World Wildlife Products. Upon the loss of her father, Phil, this past August, Nancy Kitchen was ready to retire and began discussing a succession plan that would honor her dad's legacy in the business and allow her to move in this new phase of life. Real World Wildlife Products became a customer of Kitchen Seed back in 2008, and by 2017, Dodd Higgins and his wife moved the operation from their home in Gays, Illinois, to a building adjacent to Kitchen Seed. What started off as a hobby grew into a full-fledged and very successful business, much due to the help and support of Kitchen Seeds. It was a very natural first circle and humbling opportunity for Real World to acquire them. Real World Wildlife Products Marketing and Branding Director Terry Peer stated, "We're very passionate about protecting the legacy of the Kitchen family who poured their heart and soul into the Arthur community and are very proud and honored to carry their success into the future. It means a lot to us because if it wasn't for Kitchen Seed, we wouldn't be in business. The companies will still run as two separate companies. Dwayne Hopkins will be the chief operating officer for the newly named Green Prairie Seed Company, and Janice Lickens will continue to oversee the management of Real World Wildlife Products." We'll move now to the obituaries. Jeffrey L. Jackson, age 80, of Breeze, formerly of Trenton, passed away peacefully on Friday, February 21, 2025, at Evercare in Swansea. He was born July 3, 1944, in Tuscola, son of the late Wilfred and Faye Jackson. Memorial service will be Saturday, March 1st at 10 a.m. at the First United Methodist Church in Trenton, with Pastor Rena Witcher officiating. Graveside services will follow at Oak Ridge Cemetery in Camargo at 2 p.m. Visitation will be Saturday, March 1st from 9 to 10 a.m. at the First United Methodist Church in Trenton. Gail E. Painter, 82, of Villa Grove, passed away surrounded by his loving family on Wednesday, February 19, 2025, at Carl Hospital in Urbana. A visitation will be held from 10 a.m. to 12 noon on Thursday, February 27th, at the Joint's Funeral Home in Villa Grove, with a funeral service immediately following. Burial will be at the Locust Grove Cemetery in Philo. Arlen Gail Myers Miller, beloved mother to two adult children, 88, of Tuscola, formerly of Lewisburg, West Virginia, passed away at home on February 7, 2025, leaving a void her family could not fill. Per Arlen's request, her body's been donated to science. A memorial service will be planned in Lewisburg, West Virginia, at a later date and time. Patricia A. Patty Loftus Walsh, 92, of Bement, passed away on Thursday, February 6, 2025, at 7:38 p.m. at Piatt County Nursing Home in Monticello. Funeral Mass was celebrated Tuesday, February 11th at St. Joseph Catholic Church, Ivesdale. Monsignor Michael Bliss and Deacon Jim Brewer officiated. Visitation was held at the church. Burial was in St. Joseph Catholic Cemetery, Ivesdale. Memorial contributions were made to the Bement Food Library, Piatt County Animal Shelter, or Piatt County Nursing Home. Anna L. Kaufman, 89, of Arthur, passed away at 5 a.m. on Sunday, February 23, 2025, at her residence. Funeral services will be held at 9 a.m. on Wednesday, February 26, at the HCK West Building. Bishop Larry Diener will officiate. Burial will be in the Yoder Cemetery at rural Arthur. Visitation was held Monday, February 24, and Tuesday, February 25, all at the HCK West Building. The Edwards Funeral Home is assisting with arrangements. Danny D. Lee, 81, of Atwood, passed away at 1:57 a.m. Wednesday, February 19, 2025, at Arbor Rose Adult Daycare and Memory Care Facility in Tolono. A celebration of life will be held on Saturday, April 12th at Penn Station. Times will be announced closer to the date of the service. Richard S. Thornton, 71, of Monticello, former Bement, passed away at 9:16 a.m. on Sunday, February 16, 2025, at Platte County Nursing Home in Monticello. Memorial services were held Sunday, February 23rd, at Crossroads Church, Bement. Pastor Jeremiah Gregory officiated. A meal was served afterward for friends and family. A time of fun and remembrance was held at the West End Tavern in Bement after the meal. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made directed to the World Wildlife Federation or the Platte County Nursing Home Foundation. Eli A. Hirschberger, 90, of Arthur, passed away at 11:30 p.m. on Monday, February 17th, at his residence. Funeral services were held Friday, February 21st, at the HCK West Building. Bishop Nelson Diener officiated. Burial followed in the Otto Cemetery in rural Arthur. Visitations were held anytime Wednesday, February 19th, and Thursday, February 20th, all at the HCK West Building. The Edwards Funeral Home assisted with arrangements. Janine Aldridge Fortney, 88, formerly of Tuscola, died on January 10, 2025. Services celebrating her life will be held at 3 p.m. Saturday, March 1st at the Hillegosh Schrader Funeral Home, 705 South Main Street in Tuscola, with the Reverend Tony Crouch officiating. Visitation will be held from 1 to 3 p.m. Saturday at the funeral home. The next article, Tuscola's Bookies Tavern Closing In on Opening Date, by Ben Crane. Tuscola is set to welcome a new addition to its downtown scene as Kaylin and Kagan Kibler prepare to open Bookie's Tavern. With deep ties to the area and a passion for hospitality and craftsmanship, the couple is bringing their shared vision to life in a historic downtown building. Kagan Kibler, a Tuscola native, graduated in 2016 before joining the Army and later the Army Reserves. His journey took him through Parkland College and the Illinois State University before deployment to Kuwait and Afghanistan. Upon returning, he pursued a career in construction management, working as a contractor for over 5 years. While he's been involved in various projects, Bookie's Tavern marks his first independent commercial venture. Kaylin Kibler, originally from Bement, has built a career in the service industry since she was 16. Working her way up from a host to a general manager, she gained valuable experience running restaurants and bars in the Champaign-Urbana area. Opening a bar has long been a dream, influenced by conversations with her grandmother about one day owning a cafe. We were initially considering a cafe and bakery concept, but as I gained more experience in the bar industry, we decided to go in that direction instead, Kaylin said. The idea for Bookie's Tavern took shape when the couple stumbled upon a property that met their needs at the right time and price. Initially, they considered starting with a food truck to minimize costs, but the opportunity to establish a brick-and-mortar location became too compelling to pass up. Kagan's experience in construction played a crucial role in making the project feasible. With me doing most of the work, we saved a huge chunk of the cost, he explained. Everything just lined up perfectly for us. A key aspect for the couple's vision was preserving the historic charm of the building while enhancing it with a fresh and inviting design. Kagan, who has an appreciation for historic architecture, was drawn to the opportunity to contribute to the revitalization of downtown Tuscola. Growing up here, I've watched the downtown area change, and it's exciting to be part of that transformation, Kagan said. We want this to be a place where people can come together, make memories, and enjoy a great atmosphere. Initially, the couple envisioned a dive bar aesthetic, but soon realized that the space had the potential for something much more refined. We had Plan A and Plan B, Kaylin explained. Plan A was simple, but Plan B was about making it visually appealing and offering high-quality service and products. When funding and work ethic aligned, we went with Plan B. With help from Kagan's brothers and friends, the renovation process exceeded their expectations. There were moments when we stepped back and thought, wow, this has turned out even better than we imagined, Kaylin said. The exposed brick and wood panels and the other details really brought out the character of the space. Beyond aesthetic, Bookie's Tavern aims to contribute to the social fabric of Tuscola. Downtown is such a great area with food traffic and nearby businesses, Kaylin said. We want to be part of that ecosystem where people can grab a drink here and then visit other local spots like Joe's or the Candy Kitchen or Cast Iron. The couple was drawing inspiration from their travels, bringing elements of their favorite bars and restaurants back home. We've seen some amazing places, and we wanted to incorporate the best aspects of those experiences into our own concept, Kagan said. With renovations nearly complete, the final hurdle is securing the necessary health and city approvals. We're aiming for an early March opening, Kagan said. People know we're coming, and they understand this has been a big undertaking. We just want everything to be perfect when we open our doors. For Kaylin, the most important element of Bookie's Tavern will be the service. You can have the most beautiful space, but if the service isn't great, people won't come back, she said. We want people to feel at home here, whether they're celebrating, unwinding after work, or just looking for a great place to enjoy a drink. Kagan emphasized her sentiment, echoed her sentiment, and emphasizing their goal of creating a lively and welcoming environment. In today's world, we spend so much time on social media, but face-to-face interaction is important, he said. We hope Bookies Tavern becomes a go-to spot for people to connect, relax, and have a great time. As the couple puts the finishing touches on Bookies Tavern, excitement is building in Tuscola for a space that blends history, hospitality, and a vibrant community spirit. Soon, locals and visitors alike will be able to step inside and experience the Kibler's vision of life. The next article, Illinois Amish Heritage Center announces events for the 25 season. Sheep to clothing to quilts will return to the Illinois Amish Heritage Center on Saturday, April 26th. The event will feature sheep and alpaca shearing demonstrations and cleaning, dyeing, and spinning the wool into yarn. Weavers will demonstrate weaving with looms and quilting. Visitors will be invited to try their hand at many activities. Children can learn basic sewing skills. Additionally, there'll be games and activities, pony cart rides, and a petting zoo. A farmer's breakfast of pancakes, old-fashioned liverwurst, and grilled sausage will be offered for a fee starting at 7 a.m. The main event is from 9 to 3 p.m. Visitors can buy lunch, which will include lamb kebabs, a big hit in 2024, along with other food options. A bake sale featuring homemade bread, cakes, and pies, along with homemade ice cream, will also be available. Event demonstrations and activities include sheep shearing started at 9 a.m. The CU Weavers and Spinners Guild will demonstrate the use of spinning wheels used by pioneers on the frontier, as well as a variety of stationary and backstrap looms. There'll be wool dyeing and washing and dyeing, as well as spinning, weaving, and quilt making. There will be a laundry demonstration featuring turn-of-the-century hand washer and wringer, goat milking, chair caning, soap making, rope making, and gardening. Tours of all the historic Amish buildings, 1865 Yoder House, 1870 Schrock House, 1879 Hirschberger Miller Barn, 1860 Yoder Workshop, and 1930s German Schoolhouse, will feature demonstrations and displays of the Amish way of life. Early Amish clothing, quilts, coverlets, and other hand-woven fabrics will be on display in the Schrock House, including a blue and white coverlet that was woven by the Diener family before they came to America in the 1930s. Also on display will be the 1890s-era suit worn by Daniel Schrock at the time of his death in 1892, and the 1840s-era Campbell family quilt, handmade from local wool, dyed from plants, and then spun, woven, and quilted. Vendors will be stationed again in the hayloft in the 1870s Hirschberger Miller Barn, where visitors can purchase a variety of gifts, including handmade soups, jams and jellies, popcorn, crocheted crafts, dried flowers, and hand towels, and more. There'll be a beekeeper's booth, bookmaking, book card making, and the making of tissue paper flowers. Children under 12 are free. Updates on all activities will be posted at the IAHC website and Facebook page. The IAHC is on Route 133, 3 miles east of Arthur and 5 miles west of Arcola, exit on I-57. The Harvest to Home Festival will be held on October 10th through the 11th. Oats will be thrashed, new this year, and the threshing machine will be powered by teams of horses. Many additional activities, harvest activities, and demonstrations take place at the festival. Watch the IAHC website and digital media closer to the event for more information. In the last article, Arthur Home and Garden Expo returns March 7th through the 8th. The highly anticipated 2025 Arthur Home and Garden Expo will take place on March 7th and 8th at the Auto Center, located just a half mile south of Arthur. This annual event brings together over 60 vendors showcasing the latest in home and garden products, services, and innovations. Expo hours are Friday, March 7th from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., Saturday, March 8th from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Attendees can explore a wide variety of home and gardening exhibits featuring Amish indoor and outdoor furniture, lawn and garden equipment, home construction, remodeling, storage buildings, decks, fencing, tree services, floor coatings, and much more. Many vendors will also be offering exclusive show specials, giveaway, and prize drawing, including a grand prize drawing on Saturday. The winner need not be present to claim prizes. As a highlight of the expo, vendors will compete in the best display contest recognizing the most creative and engaging exhibit. In addition to the expo, visitors can support a worthy cause by participating in two benefit meals. A hot dog trough benefit dinner will take place Friday, March 7th from 4 to 7 p.m. and a benefit breakfast buffet on Saturday, March 8th from 6:30 to 9 p.m. That's all we have time for this week. This is Chris Yerkes saying goodbye and see you again next week.